it's really good to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to be here and to see some faces that I recognise from, only just recognised from a lot of years ago, but I imagine it's the same the other way around as well. So lovely to be here and see so many people, and you're in good singing voice as well. Just recently, the church that myself pastored for 22 years in Bolton, we just had the 100th anniversary, and so I was asked to speak at that, just at the same time I was asked to speak here. So the thoughts I did bring there are still very relevant to the situation here. And it's kind of, it's filled my mind over a number of months, this whole concept of what I raised on that, on the screen before, of standing on the shoulders of giants. And I'd like to expand that a little bit today for us here at the church about the importance of you, me, all of us being giants that people can stand on our shoulders so that people can see further, because that's what this history is all about today. So even though, because I'm now 73, I came here at the age of 10, and so the 63 years since I came here, even though I was only here 17 years, that 17 years has had a marked effect on the rest of my life right up until today. And so it's important that we realise it's not just about how long you were in a place, but the impact that place had on you at that particular time. So what I want to do is I just want to read a few verses from Hebrews 11, and as I'm going to speak on standing on the shoulders of giants. And if I keep messing up with glasses, please forgive me. My eyes have really played up recently, and I've got three pairs, and if I put them on, I can see you, but I can't see my notes. And then I put some others on, I see my notes, and I can't see you. So I'm going to try and go without them, so it might be a bit blurry. So Hebrews 11 and verse 23, and then this passage is called, people call it the heroes of faith. It's all about great faith characters in the Bible. And I'm just going to dip into just a couple of verses, then relate to them later on in the ministry. It says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking towards his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, but persevered because he saw him who is invisible." And then just another verse that I want to keep referring to today from John chapter 4, and it says this: "The saying holds true, one sows and another reaps." So standing on the shoulders of giants. Now, when we're talking about giant, that phrase, which I'm going to mention a bit later, we're not talking about giants that you might, you know, huge, big physical characters. And in the Bible, there were quite a lot of them. We believe that Goliath was between 7 and 9 foot. I don't know exactly what he was. There was a guy called the King of Bashan. He had a bed 13 foot long, so he must have been a pretty tall guy. And we hear about the Nephilims, who were giant-like people who brought or terrorized the nations round about them. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, the only giant you might be aware of is of Jack and the Beanstalk, Fee, Fi, Fo, Fum, etc. But we're not talking about that kind of giant. We're talking about people who allow other people to stand on their shoulders in order for them to be able to see further. Now, when you say standing on the shoulders of giants, immediately some people might even think that's a verse out of the Bible. It's amazing, isn't it, sometimes how you hear people quote things and they say it says in the Bible, and you think it doesn't say that in the Bible at all. And I can remember a few, especially early days of church, when people just stood up in the congregation and prayed. And I can remember some kind of interesting ones, but I remember one lady saying, "Lord, it says in your word, many hands make light work. So can we all put our hands together to make it light work for our pastor?" Well, that's a really, really nice thought, isn't it? But actually, it's not in the Bible. And I can also remember, because at the same time, sometimes what people did, they start up a song. Just pitch it, you know. And sometimes it was horrendous, sometimes it was okay. Sometimes it became like a bit of the competition. And I remember being in one service where we just sang the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." You know, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Then it finishes, "In the light of his glory and grace." And then it just went silent for a moment. And then you heard this voice go, "She'll be coming round the mountain." And then others joined it, "She'll be coming." And then it began to fade out because they realised this ain't the right spot for coming round the mountains when she comes. But they're standing on the shoulders of giants. It's actually words that I mentioned on the screen. They're actually words written by Isaac Isaac Newton in 1600, who was a top scientist and became known for his work on gravity, and also became the master of the Royal Mint. And it's believed that he had an argument with a guy called Hooke, his surname was Hooke, who accused Isaac Newton of stealing some of his work. And Newton's reply was this: "If I can see further than others, it's because I've been standing on the shoulders of giants." In other words, he was emphasizing in a modest way the success of his work was based on some of the work of his predecessors. Or he discovered the truth by others' previous discoveries. A little bit like I said at the start, it's a true saying: one sows and another reaps. Following this, in 1998, a number of £2 coins, you'll see the picture in a moment, a number of £2 coins were created. And all around the edge here, you can see, if you've got one now, you'll probably see most of them are still on, standing on the shoulders of giants, obviously a recollection of his work at that time. So in summary, it was all about collective learning. What he did was because he could climb on other people's shoulders. And you know, we can have an attitude in church that can be both ways. Sometimes we can be helpful, but sadly, sometimes people don't want you to succeed, and so they can make it awkward for you as well. And I can remember very early days, I used to work just down the road here in Gorton as a motor vehicle mechanic. And when I was an apprentice, they used to put you with a particular mechanic to learn how to do certain jobs. And then they put you, maybe a month later, they put you with another mechanic, and then you'd learn certain jobs. And then eventually they'd let you do a job on your own, and then the mechanic would come and check that the work was okay. But sometimes you were struggling, or you got it wrong, or you were putting the brakes back together and it didn't make sense. And so sometimes you go to someone and say, "Can you just help me?" And they get down with you and they say, "Yeah, well, just think about it. Think what you've done. You put that on back to front, and that should be here, and that, da, da, da." They're helpful. But others would say, "I learned the hard way. You learn the hard way." But you see, the ones that want to help are like giants that you can stand upon their shoulders. It's like that aerial view. When you have an aerial view on the shoulders of giants, you see further. There's two pictures coming up now. The first one is, it's very hard to see there, but this is 40 years ago. That's me. You're supposed to say, "It can't be 40 years ago because you don't look any different," but nobody said that at all. And that's my daughter, Kendall, who's now 40-odd. It was just that picture of when she sees from a height, it's like the view on her face because of she's seeing something a little bit different. And then this next picture is my granddaughter, that's Eden. And she actually said these words to me when she was on my shoulder. She said, "Pappy, I can see further than you," because she's standing on his shoulders. So the importance of standing on the shoulders of giants. Now, you might say today, what's that got to do with church? What's that got to do with God? What's that going to be 75 years? The answer is everything. Everything. You see, because things like this don't just happen. Things like this are down to the work of people who've served for years and years and years and years and years. Down to people that most of you won't even know who they are. But they're giants that we've been able to stand on their shoulders and see further. When I went to the church at Bolton, we went to a bit of a backstreet place, and then we put up a new church after 2 years, and it seated about 350 people, and it filled up very quickly, and then we went to two services. And I remember being in some of the ministers' meetings who, you were a bit like the new kid on the block, and they'd been at it for years, and then they'd say things like this: "It's all right for you, you've got that building." I'd say, "It's all right for you, you've got all them people." "Well, it's all right for you, you've got that finance." "Or it's all right for you, you've got that, all them ministries." Like it just fell out of the sky on this piece of land on Bury New Road, full of people with a good bank account. Well, it didn't just happen. It's because loads of people prior to that time had worked really hard, allowed us to stand on their shoulders to see further and advance further. You see, because things don't just happen. Sometimes in our house, me and Sue are very difficult. Not too difficult, different. Maybe that was a slip. Very different. I like to be, we have an apartment in Bolton, and I like to go out a lot. But Sue likes to stay in, and she might read or do craft or something. And sometimes I'll go out, and I'll come back in, and she's in exactly the same position when I come back in. Horizontal, usually. But anyway, I'll come back in, and this is really well-meaning. I'll say, "Hey, right, babe, what have you been doing all day?" And like it's an accusation, you know. "What have you been doing all day?" really interested in knowing her day. And she'll say, well, your dinner didn't just cook itself, did it? So, like, it's an accusation. But no, things don't just happen. They only happen because people work hard and make them happen. And this didn't just happen. It's partly as a result of 75 years of people's input who have gone before, who were lovers of God and followers of Jesus. 75 years, listen to this, 75 years of collective work, collective toil, collective sacrifice, collective giving, collective good times, collective bad times, collective difficulties and collective successes of ordinary people. And when I say ordinary people, I don't mean that in an insulting way at all. I simply mean people who most people won't know anything about. Just ordinary people who've worked really hard. See, we're not just sitting in comfy seats here today in two Carmels. I mentioned two Carmels, Hatfield and here. But in the context of today and my ministry to you, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. People who have helped the two churches to where they are today. Now, I know you had some of this on the screen before, but I just make reference to it. I want you to consider some of the sores for a couple of minutes. The sores in the past. What means that now we reap. So Alfred Webb started the thing over a shop, you remember. Then Mr. Adcock purchased this piece of land. I can remember him very vaguely. I recognised him from the photograph there. Then the church was led by a pastor called Eddie Durham. Most of you won't know him. Then Ernest Shearman. Most of you won't know him. That's when we came here. And then the minor hall and all that work that went on. Then a guy called Ernie Anderson, he came as a minister here. And then Ken Healy. And then there was the opening of Adfield. Then there was Terry Hanford, under whose ministry probably mine began to develop. Jim and Jackie Bowler. And then Hadfield reopened. And then now, at this later time, we've got Mark over these past few years. Mostly unknowns, but all have affected where we are today. Because they allowed people to stand on their shoulders in order to see further. One of the things I love about the passage in Hebrews 11, I said it's called the Heroes of Faith, is it does start off with some really well-known, strong faith characters. But then it goes on to mention some people who are really unknown. So it starts off talking about David, slayer of Goliath. Great leader, great king, producer of one of the greatest fighting armies called David's Mighty Men, who could, the Bible says, could fire arrows with both hands and arms and could sling stones with both hands and arms, ambidextrous. They were fierce as lions. They were swift as gazelles on mountains. These were David's mighty men. But they were only mighty because he had allowed them to stand on his shoulders in order for them to see further. Moses became a great leader. He led millions out of slavery under the nose of Pharaoh, parted the Red Sea, navigated millions through the desert for 40 years, then finally handed over to a guy called Joshua. Now, most people think Joshua did the work, but actually Moses had done that work for 40 years, and he now allowed Joshua to stand on his shoulders in order to see further and bring them into the promised land. You see, one sows and another reaps. But this is what I want to bring this scripture to you that I mentioned earlier. What Joshua did was because of what Moses did. But whose shoulders does Hebrews 11 give credit to for Moses? And this is what it says. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Two total unknowns. You don't even know, it doesn't mention the name. It just says, by faith, Moses' parents. Now, we do know. They were called Amram and Jochebed. We know that from Exodus chapter 6. But what's happened here is Moses, the known, only did what he did because Amram and Jochebed, the unknowns, did what they did. It was a collective learning. It was a process of standing on the shoulders of giants. If I can just indulge for a moment, I'd like just to share a few thoughts about my history to emphasize the fact of people that were unknowns to you that have affected my life and have caused me to stand on shoulders of giants in order to see further. I do this particularly because you don't know any of them, but they've had a massive impact upon my life. When I was 10 years old, we used to go to a church in Ashton called Church of the Nazarene. There were five of us, my mum, dad, and five children, so there were seven of us. And every day, every Sunday, there was a lady, she was called, I don't know whether you like this, she was called Auntie May. She weren't my auntie. I got that many aunties that weren't really my aunties and uncles that weren't really uncles, and a few that really were. But she was called Auntie May. She was 4'11". She was a really small lady, and she lived in a little terrace house across the road from the Church of the Nazarene. And so that we didn't have to go home after Sunday morning church, she had us back at her house for Sunday dinner, all seven of us, every Sunday, just so that the five of us could go to Sunday school. She was a giant. She might be 4'11", but she was a giant. A guy called David Morrell ran a campaigner organisation, a Christian uniformed organisation. I remember him teaching me all about morals. Ernie Anderson, one of the pastors here, he began to teach me all about caring for people. Terry Anford came as a minister here. He helped me in the whole area of leadership. I know I've used this illustration here before, but I didn't want to use it again because there's a lot of different people. But one of the biggest impacts upon my life was, this is just when I hadn't been the youth leader here very long. And I remember he asked me to preach one Sunday, and everything was a different way around here. The chairs, that was a packed platform, and everybody faced that way. And I remember absolutely dreading this preach. And I remember getting something together, and it was all about the writing on the wall, me and Amy and Tikli Farsin and King Belshazzar. I got it together just about to be able to deliver it. And I remember standing up, and talk about my notes going blurred now, I couldn't see anything. It's like they disappeared. And there was a baptismal tank there. I just really wanted the tank to open up and swallow me, because it looked like everybody was frowning, not like you smiling now. It looked like everybody was frowning. And I really knew, because Terry was a great preacher, they really wanted him. They didn't want this young kid. That's what it felt like then. And I remember starting off, and then it just all disappeared. It just all went belly up. And then after a little while, I remember Terry just put his arm around me and kind of finished off the preach. Made an appeal and people responded. And then afterwards, oh, and I forgot, and you've got to get this in context. At this point in time, I was a motor vehicle mechanic for the GPO. So that was my job. And so when I'd finished, he said, well done, you know, keep going. And I remember stepping down from that stage, and this person came up to me, a really well-known reputable person, and he said to me, Ian, don't give up your day job. Stick to fixing cars and forget preaching. That's what they were saying. But so when I'm just referring to a guy called Terry Anford, what I'm saying is he saw a spark of potential and was willing to take a risk. Where other people really wanted the finished product long before you had time to become, well, you're never a finished product really, to be honest. He was a great help to me in my life. And then I went to Bible college. I was taught by people there. Went to Burnley. I was helped by a guy called George there. Went to Bolton, where for the first time I led a church. And I thought, how would you do this? Got no one to hide behind. I've never done this before. The weight of oversight, the weight of raising finance, the weight of buildings, and all those kind of things. And then became part of the leadership of Assemblies of God and learnt from my peers. But anything that I may have achieved in helping people to see further in my life, it's only because I've stood on the shoulders of some of these people that I've just mentioned to you, that you, most of them you don't know, allowed me to stand on their shoulders. They didn't say, hey, I learned the hard way, you learned the hard way. They said, stand on my shoulders so you can see further. So that was a real help to me in helping me through the ministry times that I've had. But then, and I suppose I just should say this, I think it's similar to what Bob said, there'll be people here today that you probably don't realise how much you helped me as I could stand on your shoulders and see further. You probably didn't even realise that, but that will be the true case of some here, so I can say thank you. But then just look at ourselves. As I look out from here, think about why you're here. Think about who's previously influenced you. Who's previously prayed for you? Who planted the church that you became a Christian in? Who's influenced your life in the past? And those people that have done that, they were giants who you've been able to stand upon their shoulders to allow you to see further. So today, as I look out at this congregation today, some I know and some I don't know, I'm looking at a group of people, a load of shoulders, with all the potential to be giant-like. The problem is, you might not feel giant-like. But I want to say that you might be slight in build, like Auntie May at 4'11", but you can be giant-like. You might not have much in your bank account, but you can be giant-like. You might be poor in health, but you can be giant-like. You might have a very questionable past, but you can be giant-like. And the reasons that I've just mentioned here are often used by people to disqualify themselves. But you see, all those people in Hebrews 11 that sounded like great characters, they all made some serious mistakes. They all dropped clangers. This is the reason why, for me, the Bible is an incredible book. Not just because it's the inspired word of God, because it's full of people who got things wrong. So if it was full of perfect people, it'd be, well, it's no point looking at that. They were all perfect. But other than Jesus, it's all about people who dropped clangers, made mistakes. Many got it sorted, some didn't. But if you think for a moment, I've mentioned the great Moses. What a great giant that he was. But he didn't look very giant-like when he murdered the Egyptian. He didn't look very giant-like when he ran away and hid in the desert. He didn't look very giant-like when he tried to disqualify himself and say, I can't go to Pharaoh, I can't speak, I'm not confident, I'm not eloquent, I make excuses, send somebody else. Or you think of Joseph, he looks giant-like when he was promoted to the highest position in Potiphar's house, and he saved the nation and other nations because he fixed the roof while the sun was shining. But he didn't look very giant-like when he acted like a spoilt brat with his fancy coat, bragging to his brothers that he was his dad's favourite. Didn't look very giant-like when, with superior and arrogant attitude, he said, you're all going to bow down to me, which he actually did. Or David, he might have been a powerful leader, but he didn't look very giant-like when the Bible says when kings went to war, David stayed at home. Didn't look very giant-like when he got Bathsheba pregnant. He didn't look very giant-like when he tried to get her husband back home to sleep with her to make it look like it was his baby. He didn't look very giant-like when that didn't work because Uriah had something more about him, and in the end he had to send him into the middle of the battlefield knowing that he would die to cover up what he'd done. Didn't look very giant-like then, did he? But we've all made mistakes. You've made mistakes, I've made mistakes, but listen, when you've helped someone, when you've encouraged someone, when you've counseled someone, when you pray for someone, when you've given someone your time, then you have allowed them to stand on your shoulders because you're helping them to see further. It's a process of collective learning. So summarize this morning. 75 years, but what about the future? Someone said this, the past has got us to the present, but the past and the present are there to propel the two Carmels into the future. If we're willing to continue to support the vision of leaders here in Hatfield, their ministries, their community outreaches, their financial support that they need, then you're providing your shoulders for others to see in the future further than you can see now. It's all a part of collective standing together and allowing people to stand on your shoulders. Everything I've said today is really about leaving a legacy. And over the last 75 years, many legacies have been left. But someone said this regarding legacy. The best use of your life is to spend it on something that will outlast it. The best use of your life will be to spend it on something that will outlast it. So people who had the vision to put up this building in the first place, it's outlasted them, but it's part of their legacy. People who decide to spend money on the building next door, they probably, I can't think who they all were now, I wasn't around at that time, but most of them probably passed away. And it's gone beyond them, but it's still here for people to use today because they could see further. Sometimes someone has asked this question, what would you like to be written on your tombstone? And I've heard many, maybe a bit morbid today, but I've heard many people say very interesting things. But someone said this, it's better to have your name carved on someone's heart rather than on your tombstone. It's better to have someone's name carved, it's better to have your name carved on someone's heart than on your tombstone. Could you stand with me? I'm going to pray. The band can come, please. I've talked about us being people who've stood on the people's shoulders, and today we are what we are because of other people. And there are other people that will learn from you today because you're allowing them to stand on your shoulders. But you know, all of us are here today because there is one that is greater than any of us who's lifted us up. His name is Jesus. And in a sense, I know it doesn't say this in the Bible, but he said, you stand on my shoulders so you can see further. The Bible says this. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on a name that is above every other name. It says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. I'm going to pray in a moment, and after that we're just going to sing this song that replicates those thoughts. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. So I'm going to pray just three simple things. Father, we thank you this morning, first of all, for all those that we've heard about in the past. They've created a groundwork and created a foundation and created a future for us to enjoy now. We also thank you for the privilege of ourselves being able to be shoulders that other people can stand on in order for them to be able to see further. And I just pray today that our attitude will always be, let me help you to see further. Not I learn the hard way, you learn the hard way. But most of all, we thank you today for Jesus and the fact that you have lifted us higher. You've lifted us up, you've lifted us clearer, you've lifted us in a position in order for us to be able to see beyond where we would ever see with our natural eyes. So we just thank you for this whole concept of standing on the shoulders of giants. Would you help us to be giants for people in the future? Let's just sing this song together.